Well, good morning and welcome, everybody, to our service this morning, our traditional service at St Andrew's and All Saints Online. We're really delighted that you're here with us, and a special welcome to anyone who might be looking in who's not normally with us on a Sunday at either of our churches. You are really, really welcome, and we'd love to connect up with you. I'd love to find out who you are. I'd love for you to drop me an email and just introduce yourselves. Last Sunday, we celebrated Easter Day and celebrated the amazing news that Jesus is risen, and that changes everything. And today, we're going to continue with that as our youth minister, Eddie, is going to be speaking this morning on encountering the risen Jesus as we look at one of the next passages in Luke after the resurrection. But first, I'd love to invite us to just be still and pause as we begin our worship today. And a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And so I invite you at the start of our service just to be still, to rest in God, and to receive his comfort this morning. And we begin on page 21 with our normal greeting, followed by the Easter greeting. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And we say together the prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to begin today with our first hymn, which is that great hymn, O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. We're going to come and proclaim and praise our God, the God of all comforts who watches over us. Just invite you wherever you are to join in and sing together. Number 506.
Thank you.
so we come to confess before God and hear his commandments once again on page 22. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. We say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a special prayer, the collect for today. Risen Christ, for whom no door is locked, no entrance barred, open the doors of our hearts, that we may seek the good of others and walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace, to the praise of God the Father. Amen. And now Sean is going to bring us our two Bible readings for today.
Hello. The first of our readings this morning is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. The conversion of Saul. In the meantime, Saul kept up his violent threats of murder against the followers of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked for letters of introduction to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he should find there any followers of the way of the Lord, he would be able to arrest them, both men and women, and bring them back to Jerusalem. As Saul was coming near the city of Damascus, suddenly a light from the sky flashed round him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? He asked. I am Jesus, whom you persecute, the voice said. But get up and go into the city, where you will be told what you must do. The men who were travelling with Saul had stopped, not saying a word. They heard the voice, but could not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground and opened his eyes, but could not see a thing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. For 3 days he was not able to see, and during that time he did not eat or drink anything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. Jesus appears to his disciples. While the two were telling them this, suddenly the Lord himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were terrified, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. But he said to them, why are you alarmed? Why are these doubts coming up in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet, and see that it is I myself. Feel me, and you will know, for a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. He said this and showed them his hands and his feet. They still could not believe. They were so full of joy and wonder. So he asked them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of cooked fish, which he took and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the very things I told you about while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms had to come true. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, this is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and must rise from death 3 days later, and in his name the message about repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I myself will send you what my Father has promised. But you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. It's a pleasure for me to be invited into your homes today via your telly, your laptop, your tablet, your mobile, or however you're watching this morning. And if you're one of our digital visitors, I hope you feel really welcomed so far. My name is Eddie, I'm the Youth Ministry Leader at St Andrews and All Saints, and I really hope that what I've got to share this morning will be helpful for you. So, we've just had last week one of the two major world-famous festivals in the Christian calendar, Easter, a celebration of one of the most important moments in human history. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so here I am now, the week after, doing a talk. I can see why Dave's given me this one to do. But I love it. You see, today I get to talk about something I really enjoy, which is after the arrest, after the trial, after the hugely public crucifixion of Jesus, he appears alive again to see his followers. And I really want to draw some encouragement out of that for us today, out of that story. But first, I want to pray for us. And as I do pray, I'm going to light this candle. You see, my talk today is all about God being with us. And I like to light a candle to just remind us that God is present with us. He is with us. And so if you've got a candle nearby, do join in lighting it. And if you haven't, well, just enjoy this one. But let us pray. Father, we thank you for gathering us here this morning. From all across the town, from wider, we can't be together, but we can still be together in this way. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be present with us in our homes today. That you would speak to us, you would teach us this morning. I pray, Lord, that what I've got to share isn't from me, but it is from you. And just guide us as we process it, we pray. We thank you, God. Amen. Amen. And so in the reading that we've had, we find the disciples of Jesus in a situation that we might find a little similar at the moment. They're in their houses, or one big house in fact. They can't go out. They're a bit scared of going out because they might be arrested for being followers of Jesus. They also can't go to the temple, even though it's still the festival of Passover. They can't go to the temple and worship for the same reason. And hanging over them is this sense of sadness and of doubt. Does that sound like lockdown to you guys? Jesus, their leader, their friend, who had travelled with them for 3 years, performing astonishing miracles and delivering incredible teaching, is dead.
He'd promised to return to them after 3 days, but the disciples' faith is waning. You see, what Jesus had promised to do was just unprecedented. It made no sense to them. In the Jewish worldview, in fact, they didn't even believe necessarily in the idea of a bodily resurrection. Some of them thought perhaps one day there might be a spiritual resurrection of the whole of Israel, but what Jesus is talking about is something that's just never been done before. Prior to this point in the story that we come to, four people have already testified to the remaining 11 disciples. They've said that Jesus is alive. Two female followers have ran to them and said, "Look, the tomb, we've seen the tomb, it's empty. Two angels came to us and they told us that Jesus is risen," but they don't believe them. Perhaps they thought the Jewish leaders had taken the body away to prove that Jesus was dead. Or perhaps the Romans had taken the body so that they could prevent any civil unrest around the grave because he was such a divisive figure. Following this, two men arrive, absolutely out of breath. They've ran 7 miles from the village of Emmaus to tell them that Jesus has been walking with them on the road there. They said that they invited him to dinner because that was the custom at the time. You just invited random travellers for food. I know it's weird, but it is what it is. But when he was with them, he broke bread, just like the Last Supper. Except now he has wounds in his hands as well. Still, though, they don't believe him. Because even now in our reading today, Jesus appears suddenly amongst them. But Luke says in verse 37 that the disciples were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Now I think this story is beautiful and human and wonderful. And I think it's got 3 things to teach us, and I hope to share them well this morning. The first is in Jesus' response to the disciples. The disciples were in lament. They'd lost their saviour. I've been lamenting myself, if I'm honest, at this time. I'm sad that we can't see each other on a Sunday, as a group of people together. I know I should feel perhaps guilty about this, because I should be positive and, you know, encouraging everyone to be happy and keep going. But actually, if you read the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, we see a really helpful parallel. You see, that book is a collection of poetry from the time of the destruction of Jerusalem in the 6th century BC. And therefore, specifically, it's about the sadness that the Jewish people felt because they could no longer worship God in the temple. It pained them not to worship God in that way, just as it might pain us to not be together at the moment. It's okay, in fact, to be sad. But as well as being sad, the disciples seem to have given up. They doubted Jesus' promise. We see in John's Gospel that some have gone back to their previous jobs as fishermen. I'm not dissing fishermen, by the way. They're obviously currently essential workers, much necessary. But they've come back to what they've left behind. But Jesus comes and he does 2 things. His opening line is to say, "Peace be with you." Now, the disciples, like me, clearly aren't particularly good Anglicans because they don't respond saying, "And also with you." That's because it wasn't a usual greeting back then. What Jesus is actually saying is that peace will always be with you, from now and forevermore. It's the same as God's peace that Gideon experiences in Judges 6 that causes him to build an altar that is called "The Lord is Peace." And so in our sadness and our fear and our doubt, Jesus first of all offers us his peace. Secondly, he responds to the disciples with grace. He doesn't reprimand them, he doesn't shout at them, he doesn't call them idiots and say, "Why didn't you listen to me?" Instead, he assures them in their doubt. He asks them to look at the wounds in his hands, in his feet, in his side, so they might know that it's him. He asks them to touch him and even eats a meal with them just to prove that he's real, not a form of spectre or ghost or something strange. In fact, in John's Gospel, it says one disciple called Thomas is so brave and honest still that he's able to say he still has doubts about what he's heard. And so Jesus comes to him and asks him to place his fingers in the holes, in the wounds in his hand, so he can be in no doubt anymore. He gives Thomas the tools that he needs to work out his faith. I imagine in this time that there's many of us that will be experiencing sadness, as I have. Whether that's because we can't see each other, or because we've lost relatives or friends, or simply because times are just hard. Similarly, we might be wrestling with real doubts, grappling the big questions about where is God in all this, Some of you may not even believe in God, and you're asking questions for the first time. I want to say to you that Jesus comes to you offering peace, offering us his grace, as well as the tools to navigate these doubts. He knows that we're human and he embraces us because of this. Even in this time of social distancing, he still embraces us. The second thing I think the story teaches us is that God's presence is with us in the ordinary. Even in these stories, Jesus meets the disciples in a house in Jerusalem, conveniently just as they're settling down to have some food. He meets Mary Magdalene as she mourns in the garden. He comes to his disciples while they're at work fishing. He visits the house where the disciples are with Thomas, and two of his followers are obviously walking on the road when he meets them. A house, two meals, at work, in the garden, on a walk. Ordinary places, but Jesus comes to these places. It's important because, as I mentioned before, whilst we might be sad that we can't meet together in church, this is a totally different sadness than if we were Jews. For the Jews, the temple was the epicentre of worship, because it's where they believed that God's presence was on earth. It was essential to them. To lose it for them, to lose the presence of God on earth, is just disastrous. Can you imagine that pain? But we don't have the same issue though. Jesus makes this point himself. He says in John 2 that he is the temple. And what he's saying is that he is now the presence of God on earth. Jesus has changed the paradigm forevermore. Not only that, but now he's proved it as well. He's just defeated death. See, his resurrection is different to any of those that he performed himself. Take Lazarus, for example, a guy that he raised from the dead. Now, Jesus healed his illness, restored him to life, but ultimately one day Lazarus will still die. But Jesus has been killed, and though he still carries the wounds of his death, he stands fully alive. He'll never die again because he is God. He's defeated death. And he's a God who walks into our ordinary lives. Notice this in the story. No longer are God's followers expected to gather in one certain place to be in his presence. Instead, Jesus brings his presence to his followers. In a house, at two meals, at work, in the garden, on a walk, ordinary places. This is like mind-blowingly huge for us, because though we may not be able to meet together in worship, we can still experience the presence of God. We don't have to just see this happen in those special holy moments that we have, but instead, as we see in these stories, Jesus happily enters into the ordinariness of our lives. A house, two meals, at work, in the garden, on a walk. Be assured, friends, that God is with us. Even if we are not together, if you're a key worker, he is in work with you. If you're a keen gardener, he is in your garden. If you're a parent, he's with you in your parenting. He's with us in everything. Our time spent reading, watching the telly, cooking, exercising, gaming, playing, whatever. I don't know what you all do. Everyone does different things. Loads of stuff. I just know that Jesus is present in it. A house, two meals, at work, in the garden, on a walk. The final thing I think the story does is call into question who we are. The reality of this story is that the 11 disciples, because Judas, are never the same again. After this encounter with the resurrected Jesus, they go from this place changed forever. Luke, the author of this gospel, actually writes two books, and this is just the end of the first half. His second book, the book of Acts, contains story after story after story of Jesus' followers unleashed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, performing miracles and disrupting social norms, all in the name of Jesus. So profound is the change in these disciples that of the 11, only John ends up dying of old age. The rest are all killed for what they believe, willing, in fact, to die for it. When Jesus appeared before and proved who he was, the disciples had a choice to make. And it wasn't just what trousers they were going to change into after he shot them by walking through a wall or whatever he did. It was a decision about who they were and who they were going to be. Take Peter, for example, who would have perhaps been scared more than most. He promised Jesus he wouldn't deny him, And yet he did, three different times. Now he's living scared, both of the authorities who still want to prosecute him, and also of his friend, the Messiah, Jesus. But as Jesus stands before him, Peter has a whole new choice about who he is, and he has to make it. We all have this choice to make at this time. So many of the things that make up our identity have been stripped away. We can't be defined by our jobs. We're cooped up in our homes, perhaps with family. We may be facing financial difficulty. We might find our relationships stretched or our times of celebration diminished. We may be struggling with the loss of our fantasy football teams. That's a serious issue, that one, okay? Very serious. But the resurrected Jesus gives us a choice. Because by entering into our ordinary lives, he gives us the opportunity to become extraordinary ourselves. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples?" We too, because of the Holy Spirit, are temples. God is not just with us, he is in us. And when all the other things that make us who we are being stripped away, that's all that we've got left. God is in us. And we can choose to follow him and embrace this and be transformed by it. I found God teaching me about this restoration of who I am recently. Like many others, I have taken up baking during this lockdown. So I made myself this sourdough starter. His name's Larry. You've got to name him. That's part of the deal. And so a starter is where you activate the yeast that is in it. Over time, as you keep feeding it, it grows and becomes active. And this becomes the thing that makes the bread rise and also gives flavour to the whole loaf. Now, after 10 days of feeding my starter, it was finally ready for me to try and make my first loaf. Even this took time. Hours of resting the dough, letting it rise, folding it gently together, and then proofing it overnight. Before finally, 11 days after starting, I made my first loaf. So, this is actually my fourth loaf. I haven't named the bread, that's weird. Naming the starter, that's fine, but the bread, you can't do that. But still, my first one and this one, it wasn't perfect. It didn't rise as much as I wanted it to. The texture was good, but not incredible. And the crust was not quite there. But friends, let me tell you, when I bit into that first piece of my first ever self-created sourdough bread that I had made from scratch, it tasted better than any loaf I've ever bought from a store. And I should know because I've bought loads, okay? But in it, I really clearly felt God teaching me. He was teaching me about slowing down. He was saying to me it's easy to get quick fixes, to patch up the deficiencies in who we are by taking whatever we're given to fill them. But actually it's when we slow down that we allow God to form us, like the dough is formed. And similarly, it takes 10 days for this sourdough starter to be ready to be used, and that's just for the first time, it goes for years. But this is ultimately what gives the bread its whole shape and its whole flavour. And so God was challenging me to say, what am I doing in this period that's going to, in time, affect the whole shape of my life, the whole flavour of my life, of who I am, of the faith that I have in God. And so just as with the disciples, Jesus came to me in the ordinary, and he comes to you too. Just as with the disciples, Jesus comes to our fears, our sadness and our doubts, offering peace and grace. He comes to us too. And just as with his disciples, Jesus takes our ordinariness. And if we let him mould us, he makes us extraordinary. I feel it's really important this morning to give us a moment to reflect on this. God really is present with us right now. That is the heart of this story. That his presence is no longer contained to one space, but the whole world. And though we are a dispersed church, he is still with us. And so to remind us of this, I want you to grab now something that reminds you of the new ordinariness of this lockdown life. It could be the TV remote or your phone or laptop or perhaps a book. It may be the chair you're sat in. For me, it's going to be this piece of bread. But grab something now. Or if you can't get hold of something, just think about it. Something of your new ordinariness. Jesus, as we sit now in lockdown, I pray that you remind us of your presence and of your peace in all of our ordinary activities. As we sit in our chair, as we watch telly, as we call relatives, as we text friends, as we study for school, as we work from home or on the front lines, as we sit in the garden, as we do our essential shopping and exercise, and as we pray, Jesus, we invite you to be present in these moments. We ask even now that you would make your presence known to us. And as we grapple, Lord, with who we really are, we ask that you would show us the way and that you would make us and make these things, these ordinary activities, extraordinary. Help us to know that whilst we cannot meet as a church, you are still meeting with us and you are still sending us out to love those around us. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. When the risen Jesus met his disciples, the first thing he said to them was, "Peace be with you." He wanted to, them more than anything, to know his peace, that peace which the world cannot give. And we're going to have a chance to just receive the peace of God and to reflect on that now. As we're going to, if you'd like to sing number 477, "My Peace I Give Unto You." Or you might like just to be still and listen to these amazing words. And as you hear them, just to allow God to give you his peace this morning.
Thank you.
And so we come to share our affirmation of faith on page 24. We say together in faith, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We believe in God the Father, who created all things, for by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God the Son, who was slain, for with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And Heather's going to now lead us in our intercessions.
In Hebrews chapter 4, we read that because Jesus died, rose again, and is now in heaven as our great high priest, we can approach the throne of God with confidence to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's what we're going to do now. So let us pray. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, please respond. Hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the World Health Organization and for the heads of state of countries all around the world who are seeking the right way forward as they grapple with the effects of the coronavirus and the difficulty of knowing when to ease restrictions on people's movements. May they look to you for guidance at this critical time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Queen and her strong personal faith in you. Thank you for the wisdom and encouragement she shared in her two recent broadcasts. Bless her as she celebrates her 94th birthday on Tuesday, and please protect her, Prince Philip, and all the royal family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for members of Parliament and all the ministers of state as they face unprecedented challenges. Thank you, Lord, for the amazing skill and devotion of the doctors and nurses who saved Prime Minister Boris Johnson's life. Please restore him to full health, and may his recent experiences give him greater wisdom and understanding in the decisions he must make. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift to you the police as they try to find the right way to control people's behaviour during present restrictions. Thank you for them. Thank you too for local, district and county councillors and all the voluntary agencies who are serving the public good at this time. Thank you for Malvern Delivers and Barnard's Green Traders, and all those who are delivering food for those of us who can't go shopping and supporting our friends on the Brook Farm estate. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you so much, Lord, for our NHS and all who work in any capacity in our hospitals, surgeries and care homes. Please protect them in their close encounters with the deadly coronavirus. May they have all the equipment they need. We pray you to comfort those who've seen their colleagues die and heal those who've been infected themselves. We especially pray for strength and protection for Ginny Jones and her colleagues in Gloucester Hospital, for Sarah Angwin in the intensive care unit and Anna Laidler in oncology at Worcester. Lord, we ask you to protect us. As it says in Psalm 57, we will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until this disaster has passed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now, Lord, we want to bring before you all those who are ill, lonely, frightened, bereaved, grieving, depressed because they can't go out. We pray for refugees, for the homeless, the hungry, and the destitute. In a moment of silence, name before the Lord those who are on your hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, Lord, we thank you so much that we are one in the Spirit, though physically separated. Thank you for those who've put this service together. For Dave and Peter, Eddie and Helen in their ministry, and for all who are serving and caring in various ways at this time. Help us to live as those who know that you are our shelter, our refuge, our rock, and our place of safety, and to share that faith whenever we have the opportunity. In a moment of silence, let's pray for one another. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And so let us now share the peace of God with each other as we prepare for communion. And whether you've got people there in the room with you or not, we say these words just as a way of offering that peace to each one of us, even though we are apart, and praying that each one of us would know God's peace today. So we are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. And as we come to gather around the bread and the wine, if you've got bread and wine with you, then you might like to just receive that today as a symbol of this communion that we share spiritually with each other, that I take on your behalf. And we're going to use the words of Eucharistic Prayer C on page 32. So let's be still. And again, just dwell in God's presence. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and he gave you thanks. And he broke it and he gave it to them saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise. And we lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, though we are separated, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. And so wherever you are, draw near with faith as we take communion today. Just know that actually his blood was shed for you, and we remember him. We encounter him afresh, and we invite him to feed us afresh by faith with thanksgiving. Lord God, our Father, through our Saviour Jesus Christ, you have assured your children of eternal life, and in baptism have made us one with him. Deliver us from the death of sin, and raise us to new life in your love, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And our final hymn today, we're going to sing of that glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Number 708, if you want to follow it in the books. To God be the glory. Let's sing out in praise of all he has done for us.
Thank you.
Well, we've come to the end of our service, but just one notice really is that several of us from St Andrew's and All Saints are meeting over Zoom, a video conferencing software, to have coffee and chat at the end of the service. And we're doing that at 12 o'clock today. And if you are able to join us and would like to join us, then details of that were on the mailing on how you can link in with that. Do connect up with others. There's a special All Saints room as well as other St Andrew's rooms. If you're a visitor, do drop me an email and I would love to send you the details so that you can come and introduce yourselves to us as well. As Jesus met with those disciples on that first Easter Sunday, after he'd showed them who he was, after he'd given them his peace, after he'd explained to them something of why this all had to happen, he said to them, "You're going to go and be my witnesses, but I'm going to give you my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be with you, to give you courage to speak of me, courage to live as I call you to live." And Jesus sends each one of us out too, into this difficult and troublesome world at the moment, to go and be his witnesses, to continue to declare that he is risen, that God is the God of all comfort for people, the God that brings life, and to share what we have known and what we have encountered of the risen Jesus. So as we go from here today, that is my prayer, that you would have the opportunity, that we'd all have the opportunity to share this week something of the hope that we have with others at this time. And so a final blessing, the peace of God, the peace which passes all understanding, the peace which God promises each one of us. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Normally at the end of our services we offer prayer, prayer in person. But actually we're not able to do that at the moment. But although if there's somebody in your household today and you would like some prayer, why don't you just turn to them and ask them to pray for you. We've also got a special email set up which is prayoneforme@standrewsandallsaints.org. And if you've got something that you would particularly like us to pray for you, then please do email it in or phone me at the vicarage and we will commit to pray that for you. We'd love to hold you up in prayer in these coming days. But stay safe, look after each other. May you know God's presence with you in this coming week, and God bless.